We have a special morning buzzcast coming to you from the CAA World Congress of Sports from LA Live in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the buzzcast for Wednesday, April 17th. I am joined by my colleagues, Tom Friend, Chris Smith, and Austin Karp, who were all in attendance at the CAA World Congress of Sports on Tuesday. A good day. Gentlemen, I'm going to toss a jump ball to you. What was the key theme from the day one conversations you heard? Tom, I'll start with you.
The story today to me was the WNBA draft. People are still talking about it, Caitlin Clark, the whole aspect of it. I mean, Fanatics, Michael Rubin said that it was the most sales they've ever had on a draft night of an athlete's jersey, which is insane. They sold out. They were ready to go too, right? They said they were prepared, they had stock, and it was all sold out. So this league is in the stratosphere right now. What it does this summer, as soon as Chicago plays Indiana, that's going to be a game when they see Angel Reese playing against Caitlin Clark, and you know when the matchup goes in L.A., that she's going to sell at every arena. So this is big.
Chris Smith, what struck you about the theme of women's sports throughout the day?
I mean, it was ubiquitous,
yeah,
right?
It was.
Even yesterday morning at the networking event, you know, people talking about the women's college tournament, seeing ratings there beating the men, and you know, can we expect that to be a pattern, right, or a regularity? And it's not outside the realm of reason, right? It's not something we can't expect anymore. And I think it's because Kathy Engelbert talked about it yesterday, that it's capturing the momentum, capturing that moment and carrying it forward, right? That it's not just this sort of moment in time, but it's something that is meaningful, that we can tap into, that we're now seeing merchandise, we're now seeing tickets, we're seeing sponsorships, millions of dollars, right? I mean, she said 4 out of the 5 top NIL earners are women's basketball players. Mm. That's huge, mm-hmm. right? And that's something that you wouldn't have expected to see 2-3 years ago. So I think that's sort of, you know, a lot of the themes that really circulating around all the conversations, whether you're, you know, whatever sport you're talking about, whatever sector within sports, marketing, broadcasting, it's all women's sports is really at the forefront.
Austin Karp, certainly the W, but also other women's sports, women's gymnastics, preparing for the Olympics, and WSL was mentioned. So there were these prevalent themes throughout the day.
Yeah, I loved on the opening session when Molly Solomon from NBC said, hey, we were the original primetime programming for women, talking about the Olympics, dating back to Nadia Comaneci. But I also liked the theme coming out of the opening panel, talking about how it's not a zero-sum game with women's sports with regards to the larger sports pie. It can be a rising tide for the entire industry. It's not taking away dollars from other men's sports, other areas of the business.
Speaking of dollars, I mean, the media rights just happen to be up for the WNBA coming up next year. And Kathy Engelbert said it's going to set them up for the next 2 decades. And she's not talking about the money that's earned there, but the player salary is going to grow. Expansion is about ready to happen. We're talking 4 new teams in a period of time here in the WNBA. Then you talk about just the ratings alone. So they won't necessarily bundle it with the NBA when their media rights come, but there's going to be growth there for the WNBA that's palpable.
You know, the player salary issue is a huge thing because you saw even President Biden posting about it on social media on Tuesday night.
And I think, you know, when we talk about women's sports, we're seeing an impact on a lot of the big men's leagues, right? A lot of the conversation has been around the NFL and specifically around flag football, right? Their efforts on getting the game into the Olympics. And a big part of the growth story of flag football is that girls can play. Mm-hmm. That's not been the case for football previously. And so now you're seeing this way for other women athletes to get into the mix with some sports that have not been available to them previously.
It was about participation and about fandom and growing that women's fandom and, you know, where that, you know, amplification can happen. And to Austin's point, it wasn't at the expense of other sports. It was organically growing across fan bases. That was a clear theme from day one. I also thought a theme, and I'd be interested in what you all think, a lot about customer service, fan experience, fan engagement, fan enjoyment. And that was something where for either Michael Rubin said it to Katie Griggs from Seattle Mariners, across the board about are we making sure that the right steps to make sure the fan experience and the customer service is top of the line.
Yeah, I mean, in respects to the media world specifically, Katie from the Mariners talked about, you know, compared the modern media landscape to music, right, back in the 90s and early 2000s, where we saw streaming music, Napster, different, you know, massive disruptive changes in the landscape. And that's what we're seeing, I think, now on the media side, and it's entirely focused on what do fans want, right? How do you find the fans where they are? If you want to find young fans, they're not going to sit there and watch something on cable because they don't have cable, right? You need to find them on their phones. You need to have short-form video. You need to have different ways to reach them, and I think that, you know, that's been a main focus as well, is sort of that where are fans and how do we get there?
And she talked about Gen Z and how that's a big target. And then you look at how they're targeting, Molly Solomon talked about the Olympic coverage. they're going to have Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson, you know, sort of involved in the coverage, which is interesting. I mean, you know, you wouldn't think so normally, but their personalities and the people that attract an audience.
And it was interesting, Tom, when Michael Rubin said, like, you can't deliver at 99%. You got to deliver almost at 100% for the sports audience, because that, you know, if you miss that 1%, they'll be vocal and they'll be very, very clear about where you miss. So the customer service, the fan experience, I thought was a pretty consistent theme. Another theme for me on Rubin was he was confident, but he was a little bit more tempered in his enthusiasm for Fanatics betting. He's like, we'll see. You know, the jury's still out, where he is so confident, and he said he's confident, but he did recognize the very competitive landscape and their realistic market share where they are now. And it wasn't the full, and he said, we never got in this to win market share or to be the number one in market share, but we want to be across the ecosystem. So I thought that was a pretty interesting comment. Other people who stood out to you all were who, Austin?
I really enjoyed listening to Kevin Demoff talk about what is just going on across all the teams that he operates. I mean, he sees so much from so many different leagues and what he's paying attention to. And Abe, getting back to what you just talked about with sports betting, Demoff said one of the biggest things he's watching is sports integrity and integration. I mean, I'm paying attention to the integration side in particular with these apps that are putting game streams onto their sports betting apps, and whether they can attract fans and keep them there for longer periods of time. It's definitely one of the next phases in delivering content to where the fans are.
And that was one of his headwinds, his concerns, was the sports betting integrity piece. Tom, what else stood out to you today?
Well, I was surprised by this number. Women's sports is still watched 55% by men. So they need to appeal to the young women in this country to watch sports. I mean, obviously men tend to be maybe, I don't know, more sports fans, maybe not, but the point is that more men are watching women's sports. They need to equal that to even up their audience.
And Chris, what stood out to you in day one?
Two others I'd throw in. One, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, always fascinating, longest tenured American sports commissioner, and looking back over history, right, the way that the league has changed, the way sports have changed. Wouldn't get into too much detail on the Coyotes, so wait and see what's coming on that front. The other, Ahmad Nasser, on the opening panel yesterday, I thought had a lot of really interesting comments about the state of tennis. You know, the need for reorganizing the way that sport is run, the need for potentially more capital, where that capital may come from, whether that's going to be overseas, sovereign wealth, the Saudis. I think that sets the stage for some interesting movement on that front.
And you're right. I mean, the tone around even the difference between tennis and golf right now is pretty fascinating. And there definitely seems to be a real hold mentality about professional golf. There's an understanding that this schism between the LIV Golf Tour and the PGA Tour cannot continue. It's not helping the game. It is really viewer fatigue of this back and forth. And I got to be honest with you, the buzz around the game of golf right now, over the last couple of days that I've been talking to people, hasn't been incredibly positive.
I think you're right. I mean, you're coming off of a Masters weekend where you would hope, if you're the sport of golf or if you're any of the operators in that sport, that everyone is excited. They're pumped, right? They're coming off of a great weekend, and instead, all anyone can talk about is how bad things are. Right?
Or will a deal get done, and how does it get done? What else stood out to people? I thought Cosm was a great presentation from their CEO, Jeb Terry, who presents very well. I thought he's pretty charismatic, and I saw Cosm's facility. I believe you've seen it, Chris Smith, as well. If you haven't seen it, it is impressive.
I saw actually their kind of the original Cosm facility out in Salt Lake City, which is sort of the roots of that company. And it's funny, I get invited to a lot of these places and you hear all the hype and you show up. This is one of the few, maybe the only, that has really blown me away in the way that the Cosm facility did. It is astounding. It is kind of hard to comprehend, you know, it's something you've never seen before. So I'm very excited. Obviously, they announced opening the LA venue later this year, UFC 303. Very excited to see how that goes, how that plays.
And for people who aren't aware of this, you should check it out because it's a really premium experience. It's multi-level, it's multi-dimensional, but it's meant to be a very shared experience with friends and others. So I do have my eye on Cosm. Austin and Tom, any other takeaways?
You know, just talk about meeting the fans where they are again. And UFC is just trying to create the best kind of fan experience for their fans.
Very immersive experiences. Tom Friend, we got Ryan Smith on the schedule today. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what he says, if anything, about the Coyotes and any NBA talk as well.
Well, I think the Coyotes deal is going to go down. I think it's going to go down on Thursday or Friday, from what I'm told. And they're going to renovate that arena a little bit. They have to build out the locker rooms. They need to change some of the configuration of the building. But they're going to get that thing done in 4 or 5 months, which is insane. But they're going to get it done. One other thing I took away from this whole day is, you know, this media rights thing for the WNBA is going to be huge. And she's not as much concerned about it, the money, as she is the windows. Kathy Engelbert wants to have these games on prime time, and Caitlin Clark demands it. So it will be very interesting to see what happens with these games, not on these afternoons or whatever. They want the AB, you know, the, right. I don't know where, whatever network it right. is, but they want the prime time times.
So the networks have to play along there, and yeah. that's the networks fighting for the shelf space and where to put it, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm particularly interested to see where they can slot the WNBA finals. I think one of the biggest knocks against that event in recent years has been multiple games airing up right against Sunday NFL games. They need to get a better window for that marquee attraction.
Well, last year, the WNBA All-Star game, Sabrina Ionescu hits 20 straight three-pointers, and it was on in the afternoon. It was like dead afternoon. No one was watching it on a weekday. They got to change all that. They got to think big picture. I mean, listen, next year at the NBA All-Star game, I guarantee you it's Caitlin Clark shooting against Steph Curry. I mean, it's going to be – they need to capitalize on all of this right now, and they are.
They know they have the leverage or right. the momentum, so right. they're going to use right. it. And we ended the day on Tuesday with one of my favorite panels, Champions of Sports Business. They received a great standing ovation from the audience in attendance. That was Mike Oresko, Steve Bornstein, Stan Kasten, Stephanie Tollison, and Peter Johnson. And that was a great way to end the day around storytelling and memories. And so that sets us well into today. And today we have a full day and looking forward to it. And so we will recap all day Wednesday on Thursday's Morning Buzzcast. So for Austin Karp, Tom Friend, Chris Smith, I'm Abe Matcor. Thanks for listening to your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, April 17th from the CAA World Congress of Sports at LA Live. Until we talk to you again, stay healthy, be good to each other, and have a great day.